I don't know what those white people in this country feel. I can only include what they feel from the state of their institution. Now, this is the evidence. You want me to make an act of faith, risking myself, my wife, my woman, my sister, my children, on some idealism which you assure me exists in America, which I have never seen.
I am so excited for the interview we have today. We have one of my very favorite guests as a special guest, Katina Stone Butler. We are interviewing you today. So a little bit of a role reversal. And then also your son, Jamie, is here, a.k.a. Mystic. So thank you guys so much for joining us. Before we jump in, we want to start the interview off the way we always do by asking, aside from what you do and what you're known for, and here this audience knows you, Katina, as a co-host of this podcast. So aside from that work, who is Katina Stone Butler? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey guys, first of all, it's good to see y'all and be back on here. It's been a minute and I've missed us. But yeah, who am I? I'm a daughter, a wife, a mom, a Memphis, Tennessee, Orange Mound. I'm a UNT alum, a University of Memphis / Memphis State alum. I'm a community organizer, an advocate, an artist. I'm a lot of things, probably because I have to be a lot of things. But I think most of all, I'm just a person who is in pursuit of still in quiet spaces, because I am so high functioning and have to do so many things. And a lot of the things that I'm passionate about are driven by wanting to make things right in my small world for other people. And so I'm just a pursuer of quiet stillness as much as I possibly can be. And I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm just a lot of things by necessity. So, yep, that's who I am. Yeah. I'm going to ask my son, who is being interviewed with us for the first time. His name is Jamie. Well, his name is Jamel, which is Arabic, means beautiful, named after his father, my husband. But he's also an artist, and his artist name is Mystic. He's a musician. And so, Jamie, who are you?
Slowly going through and getting into fashion and clothing and things like that. But altogether, just an accumulative artist.
Okay. Brilliant. Katina, I think part of your answer caught my attention, so I want to highlight it. You said you are passionate about bringing still and quiet spaces, and yet it occurs to me that so often you sacrifice it on your own part in order to give it to others. And that's a little bit of what we are going to talk about today, is how you've given up some of your extra time and energy, valuable and divided many directions because you are just doing so much, but you've given some of that to pursue an incredible, innovative product and project that is going to bring calm and kind of that still quiet space, that feeling to so many. And so I'm really excited that we get to introduce to our audience that project, that side project you've been taking on called Hood Sensory. So could you start off the conversation, the interview, by just telling us a little bit about it and then what inspired Hood Sensory?
Absolutely. So Hood Sensory started in July of 2020 at a protest, Black Lives Matter protest in Denton. I had been on my own journey of self-care and mindfulness as it relates to my own anxiety and neurodivergency, as I've come to discover, you know, that I am neurodivergent. But we were participating in protests. We had just started the actually, I think our first episode was in July 2020, and COVID had hit, and there were just so many things happening at one time. And everybody's anxiety and fear and depression, everything was amplified across the world as we're watching people, you know, grapple and die, losing loved ones from the COVID pandemic. And it was something that our generation has never experienced. And so with COVID happening and then George Floyd being murdered and everybody seeing that, so many murders, so many lynchings, like public lynchings, because they're captured on on social media and sometimes real time, we're seeing, you know, this assault on Black and marginalized bodies. And school has stopped for everybody. You know, my kids were home abruptly. I'm thinking starting that March or April, and everything was just at a standstill, but there everything had erupted at the same time. It was just nuts. And I remember telling my sons, hey, we're going to go to the protests and I want you guys, you know, get ready. We're getting ready to go out the door. And it was just that argument about why do you have on a hoodie and it's 106 degrees outside in Texas, like it's 3000 degrees outside and you putting on a hoodie. And so, and what the hell is happening right now? Because it's hot and you're going to pass out. And so, and what if we have to run because somebody's there, you know, that's crazy. And you can't run because you're going to pass out because you're hot. And my sons, these are my two younger sons, because Jamie lives on his own. But they're like, no, Mom, we're fine. We're fine. And they had on like these black hoodies and head covered. And it was just really a struggle. And finally, I just relented. And we went to the protest and I have a picture where they are kneeling with their fists up and they both have these hoodies on. And I don't know, that day, something just clicked in my brain because, again, I was already grappling with my own anxiety and I had my own weighted blanket, I think, at that point. And I don't know why, but I just started going down this rabbit hole and I started Googling all this stuff about. And I don't even know why the word sensory popped into my head, but sensory, you know, hoodies and anxiety. Like, I just started Googling all this stuff. And what I saw was just like a bunch of ugly clothing that was extremely expensive and that I feel like, you know, kids were going to be targeted for bullying because there were big blocky looking hoodies and they'd be like $500 and they had these weights on them and stuff like that. And so I was just like pulling up anything I could find. And I feel like even now, 4 years later, there's so much more information than there was just 4 years ago. But I'm thinking,
just to make sure everyone's following. So the hoodies that you were finding that were $500 were hoodies that were specifically trying to address sensory issues.
Correct. But they were hideous looking. And I'm thinking about Black kids. And I'm like, ain't nobody, like my kids ain't gonna wear that. And ain't nobody gonna wear that. That's ugly. And that's gonna set somebody up to be beat up at school. So I was like, I don't know. Something just hit me and was like, why don't you who have, I have zero fashion merchandising experience and whatsoever. Why don't you come up with a hoodie that offers the comfort and addresses these concerns, these sensory concerns that these kids are trying to mimic in a regular hoodie? Why don't you address that and make it discreet and make it fashionable, make it street style? And so I remember texting this, I was referred to this graphic design and he designed the logo and I had a whole different name that I end up changing. At first, it was going to be Common Sensory, but then that didn't work out. And I fell in love with Hood Sensory. It's just been this 4 years of just evolution and education and understanding and knowledge and growing in empathy and seeing the world through my own neuro lens and making the connections to my neuro self-soothing and mindfulness that existed generations prior, and specifically in the African-American community, when I think about, I made the connection to weighted blankets and quilts, which quilts have amazing Black history, Black American history. I remember being in my great-great-grandmother's red cabin. She had this beautiful red cabin in the country. And for sometimes in Memphis, it would be really cold at night. And she would roll out these blankets and you wouldn't be able to move or hardly breathe under them. But they just offered the most amazing like feeling. Laying under those big, thick, phone book thick, you know, blankets were just everything. And just making those connections with like shelling peas and picking greens, doing things in the garden, whittling, fishing, pumping well water, like all of these things that had natural sensory output that I saw my elders and myself doing when I was young. And I'm like, those were like sensory, those things really help with sensory output and calming and self-soothing and mindfulness. So I started making all of these connections and going on my own path of self-discovery, like I said, with my own conditions is, and why I think a certain way, why I do certain things, my quirks, my tics. That's why I do this. And, you know, it's been an amazing journey. And even learning more about my children and how to serve them, it's been amazing. And that's how Hood Sensory has started. It's just been this crazy path of learning and growth and empathy and understanding that started at a protest in Denton, Texas in July of 2020.
Yeah. So our daughter has some sensory issues that she had a hard time sleeping before we got her a weighted blanket. And it was like a night and day difference when she got a weighted blanket, and it helped to address some of the anxiety that was keeping her from being able to sleep. So I think for a lot of people who maybe haven't experienced sensory issues, it might be hard to initially understand what it is that we're talking about or how important this is. But I think for many people, when there are just sensory kind of like deficits of where our body is just seeking more sensory stimulation, or it can also work the other way, where some people have almost like an overloaded sensory area where their body wants more stimulation in that area. And so to have remedies to have more or less sensory input where there's just like a kind of an extra need or a deficit or a surplus can really help people to have an equilibrium where they can function well, have less anxiety. And so I think this is a brilliant innovation. I've seen the hoodies. I would love for the audience to take a look at them. As we're talking, people might have curiosity. So let's not wait till the end to give them a chance to check out like the website or to see examples of what we're talking about. Do you have an easy way for them to navigate there?
Yeah, if you'll go to hoodsensory.com, and it's hood, H-O-O-D, sensory, S-E-N-S-O-R-Y.com. And then, of course, our social media will have videos. We're on TikTok, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. Yeah, check out the website. And I can explain, I can go into a little bit more detail about the hoodie. But I will say again that it's interesting because I made the first connection I really made was because I had already been experiencing, I've always had some form of anxiety, and my anxiety had amplified a couple of years prior. And instinctively, I needed one of the ways I would self-soothe is I would have my husband like squeeze me, like hug me really, really tight, like a bear hug. And instinctively, that's what I was like, just squeeze me, just hold me, just hold me. And I remember watching the movie Temple, about Temple Grandin. Temple Grandin is a woman who is autistic, and she revolutionized the cattle industry by creating just a really ethical way to, like, basically for the cattle industry and the slaughter of cattle. And she's just an amazing woman. I watched her movie a few years ago, like over and over and over again, because she made her own contraption that, because she had touch aversion, and I also struggled with some touch aversion, but she made a contraption that she would get into and make it squeeze her. And I'm just fascinated by her story. But yeah, the hoodie in itself, because there are mental health resources I feel that everyone needs to have access to. And unfortunately, everyone doesn't. There are marginalized communities who have historically not had access to resources or have had a reason to not trust those resources because of medical racism, specifically the Black and Indigenous, those people groups. And people have had to create their own forms of self-soothing and own forms of therapy and own forms of care. A lot of times built into their work, built into the things that they had no choice to do when you think about enslavement. And so that's why I say Black history is American history, because of all of the amazing innovations that have come forward out of the necessities. And so with the hoodie itself, it's not a catch-all, it's not a fix-all, but when you have issues related to neurodivergent conditions or sensory conditions, self-soothing and mindfulness are huge. You have to be able to self-soothe and care for yourself real time. When you're not in therapy, or maybe you're trying out a new medicine, or you're, you know, anything could be happening. And so my desire was to create a hoodie that could be really effective, but also discreet, but also comprehensive. because there are a lot of hoodies out there now that sensory, the word sensory friendly and, you know, sensory conditions and all of that has been become so popular post COVID. And so now everyone is saying, oh, like before, when 4 years ago, nobody was talking about this. Now everybody's got a weighted hoodie and they think something that's weighted and tagless is sensory friendly. Well, there are a lot of components and there's a spectrum of sensory conditions. And that can range from needing a weighted, you know, the weightedness, compression, addressing the issue of touch aversion, accessibility, you know, being tagless, like the feel of a fabric, the color of something. There's so many things that can basically trigger someone. And there's so many different needs. And what I love about our hoodie is that we basically worked on it over time for a few years to perfect it and test it.
4 years, right?
Yeah. Well, we've been working on it 4 years, but specifically the hoodie itself, probably about 2 or 3 years, the prototypes. And we tested it and we shared it with people who were neurodivergent and had sensory conditions. And we took their feedback. We talked to therapists. We realized that this is not it doesn't solve every problem, but it's for many of us, like Black people specifically, who don't normally get therapy. And reach, like, normally don't have access to those resources. It's a first step in the conversation of mental health. Jamie, you go ahead.
Yeah, I would just love to invite more of the story in to this conversation. And Jamie, I want to turn it to you. How did you get involved with this? How does your passion align with it? Like, what drew you in or attracted you to the project that you're like, this is something I want to do? And tell us a little bit more of the story of that 3 years of the rise and fall of hopes each time a new prototype would come out and trying to find that perfect product that you could push out.
Wearing hoodies all the time. They were super, super comfortable. It's something that you could kind of shy away from the world from, but you could still be present at the same time. And then growing up with my brothers ended up the same way. And so hence them going through to the protests and the 100 plus degree Texas weather, propped up with hoodies, sweatshirts, and some more. And so it's definitely a super personal project because I feel like it is important to go through and have something that's geared directly towards neurodivergency and that's geared directly towards kids who have that need. There's also like a lot of substitute teachers and everything that I know as well, where their schools don't allow kids to wear hoodies whatsoever. And so like, you can't wear your hood up. You can't wear hoodies at all. You have to go through and take that off, put that to the side, put it in your locker, so on and so forth. Just because of the different stigmas that come with hoodies specifically, a lot of times hoodies are either criminalized or there's just stereotypes that come with hoodies that are usually inherently negative. Whenever in reality, a lot of people who are going through and wearing these hoodies are really just kids that want to go through and feel comfortable. I want to share that with more people. I want to go through and invite more people into the realm of that knowledge, actually, to be able to go through and just kind of help people out, open up these gates a little bit and allow people to be who they want to be and allow them to be comfortable in their own skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To have said, can you explain for maybe some people are like me and don't exactly know what neurodivergent means? Can you help hypothetically what, like, kind of just like a maybe a simple explanation of what that means for people that are listening?
Neurodivergency is basically just a catch-all term where people just go through and they think differently. They go through and process things differently. So like people who have autism, or some people who are dyslexic, some people who have like Asperger's, some people who have different things like that. But then also there are super minor things where it's like, we could have extreme anxiety, you could have OCD. There's just those small, finite things that kind of just make you a little bit different than the rest of the people. Not necessarily that it's a bad thing, but just you just process in your own special way.
Process information differently.
Yeah.
And you explained that. That's the textbook definition. Literally, people who are on a spectrum of either sensory conditions or even things like autism, dyslexia, ADHD, ADD, OCD, you know, just this broad spectrum. But for some reason, in some way, they process things differently. And because they process things differently, a lot of times people get othered. When it comes to matters of the brain and the mind, it's easy to other folks. So if somebody had a broken ankle, no one would make fun of someone that had a broken ankle. And it would be easy for that person to go to the doctor and tend to that. But whenever it comes to matters of the mind and the brain function, if people operate outside of a certain framework or beyond another, like the majority, the mainstream's capacity to understand, then they get othered. And so the conversation of neurodivergency and neurodiversity, it's a big conversation now, because as we're talking about inclusion, we need to hold space for folks who think differently, who arrive at the same point in a different way by our way of thinking.
Jamie, I want to pick up on and drive into a little bit more of something you said, and also just want to invite our audience to consider the world differently. Because I think a lot of, especially the white members of the audience, we live in a culture that has certain cultural messaging. And one of the cultural messages is that hoodies have come to be associated in white culture. Like if you just watch 1,000 hours of Fox News, you'll see it portrayed as a fashion choice that is rebellious or kind of like, I mean, you'll hear the word thuggish. And what you're saying, and what I want our audience to hear and realize and have this switch in their minds, is that a lot of young African-American men wear hoodies because of like, it's a self-medication of like physiological issues that are a result of anxiety from trauma, from some of that from racism, some of that from historic, just like the downstream effects of the whole history of America's racial history. And if that is true, then it just, it occurs to me just the irony of the fact that white culture throughout the history, I mean, if you've listened to our podcast of the whole history of America on this issue of race, that white culture has inflicted trauma and then stigmatized the very efforts to self-medicate and to like process and deal with some of that trauma, and turn the wearing of a hoodie into a sign that like a young African-American man is like up to no good, or he's like being rebellious, or he's like not safe to be in our neighborhood. When in reality, what we should be seeing, like if we see a young man wearing a hoodie, is that this is somebody who's probably like got anxiety because of being hurt in the past, and we should have empathy and care and like love, but love is often not the frontline response. Is that all a fair portrayal? And is that something that you think is like, how often do you think that's the case? Do you think that is like the truer story of what's happening?
For me personally, and my experience, especially with my brothers and everything like that, that would definitely be more so the story rather than someone up to no good. And I mean, very much so, I'm wearing this hoodie, especially in Texas, in a place like this where the majority of our weather is hot. There's ultimately no reason, and the mindset is there's no reason to be wearing a hoodie unless the one is true. But what I'm trying to go through and lead is the factor of the two, the neurodivergency, the anxiety, the different things like that, the just wanting to shy away, the wanting to go through and just cover up in general. That's more so the truth than the up to no good. It's just the truth. Also, it's a very popular fashion choice. There's been multiple things throughout time of pop culture, like the Supreme hoodies. That was a huge thing back like from 2006 all the way down to like 2012. The Supreme hoodies were a ginormous thing throughout pop culture and skateboard culture. Skateboard culture in general is very prone to hoodies and baggy clothing and things like that. But it's just a comfortable thing. It's also easier to perform with a skateboard with these baggier clothing than it is with tighter different things. So I mean, there's a lot of different factions to go through with the hoodie in and of itself, but ultimately the biggest thing is just the fact that I do agree with the fact that there genuinely does need to be a reinvention,
branding,
rethinking of the hoodie and how our initial response is every time we see someone in that.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll add to that.
Oh, I was going to change to another question that I had, but you speak into that first.
Well, I was going to also add that the hoodie itself has a very interesting history. And specifically in the 60s, the hoodie became racialized because it was associated with the Black Panthers as a sign of rebellion against the country. So the hoodie has, like, I've been digging into just the history of the hoodie itself. And that's when it became racialized, in the 60s with the Black Panthers. But then in the 80s with hip hop culture, it became extremely popular. And of course, further associated with Black culture because of hip hop. And then when Trayvon Martin was murdered by George Zimmerman, he said, the guy has on a hoodie, I think. And, you know, the hoodie was further racialized because we see kids in neighborhood. This kid was at a store getting whatever he was getting. And the person who was supposed to be a neighborhood watchman decided that he was a criminal because he had a hoodie on and because the hood was over his head. And Trayvon Martin was murdered. And from that point, it became a symbol of resistance. So now we've seen hoodies go from racialization and criminalization to resistance and revolution. And with specifically COVID, I think, amplified for Black children, but for children in general, it has now become a symbol of rest. It has become like a rest in and of itself. For marginalized communities specifically, is an act of resistance. And so when I drop my kids off at school, when I drop my youngest, he's the only one in high school now. But when I drop them off now, you see kids wearing pajamas to school. They have this makeshift things that they have put together, stuff that they probably shouldn't be wearing to school. You know, some schools may say, hey, you got to take this off, you know, and that is a thing. Some kids can't wear hoodies to school. Of course, there are schools with uniforms. There's restaurants that don't allow people to wear hoodies. There's jobs that don't, you know, workplaces where people can't wear hoodies. There's gas stations. I was in Memphis and where I'm from, and you can't wear hoodies to the gas station. And I'm seeing kids not only going to school wearing hoodies, but they're wearing pajamas, they're wearing slippers, they're wrapping themselves up in these little interesting looking blankets with the hood. They're trying to create their own form of self-soothing. And now more than ever, self-soothing is so important because COVID has created, it's amplified all of these issues of touch aversion, isolation, whereas, you know, kids would get a natural socialization from ninth grade to 12th grade, to where if they were so-called antisocial, there's a natural socialization that happens, good, bad, or indifferent, that helps those kids to mature. Some kids' maturity was stunted because they were in isolation most of their high school career. And so that was like my middle son. He was in isolation most of his high school career. And so where some of that stuff would wear off through natural socialization, that didn't happen. And so you have these kids who are trying to catch up what COVID stunted even further, on top of the fact that mental health issues and or mental health conditions and things like that are amplified because of COVID. Like, we're still paying the price for the kids, you know, having to be, which they should have been, out of school because we had a pandemic going on, but we're still kind of paying the price for that. And socially we are. So, and so where we're talking about, it should be normal. I remember being at the fair a couple of years ago, and I saw this little Black boy, and he had a ski mask, and he was probably maybe 12, and he walked by me, and he, as he was walking by me, he pulled his mask over his face. And the first thing I thought was not, oh, he's finna rob the fair, the whole entire fair. The first thing I thought, and I said out loud, I said, this baby is neurodivergent. I said, and he's pulling his ski mask down because there are so many people out here and there's so much noise and he's overstimulated. And I remember getting teary-eyed because I'm like, what if the wrong person sees him? And my son, my youngest son, a couple of years ago, he had friends go with us. We went to a Japanese restaurant for his birthday, and his friend who plays basketball, Jayden, he had on a ski mask. He had a fur hat on the ski mask. He had a hoodie. He had a whole bunch of stuff on. And his mom texted me and she was like, girl, I am so sorry. He's African-American. He's like, I am so sorry. He looks quote, homeless, because that's what, you know, as it, when we're talking about Black respectability, that was my problem. Like, I was like, you're going outside looking like I don't take care of you. And I take a personal offense to that because people assume that Black people don't take care of their kids. And you walk around looking like you're, quote, homeless, which is an offense to people who are unhoused. But this is how my, like, I've grown. But she said that. And I said, sis, hey, and I was in the middle of this whole hood sensory thing. And I was like, no, it's cool. It's cool. Like, I'm glad it's a whole thing. My kids do the same thing. So he is safe with me. I'm fine. Don't apologize for how he's dressed. And I remember going to Jaden. We were at the restaurant. And I said, hey, Jaden, I see you, your fur hat and your things on. And I saw him shrinking as I was saying that. I said, are you neurodivergent? His face lit up. He felt in that moment so seen and so heard. And he sat up. And I said, I am too. And I was like, you know, I see you got your clothing on for your self-soothing stuff, and that's cool. And it just changed his whole disposition, because even though kids are wearing this stuff, there's a lot of shame associated with it because they're getting it from their parents. They're getting it from teachers. They're getting the stares and the glares. And like Jamie was saying, we got to normalize people being able to do what they want to do. That's not illegal. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. And do what they need to do to care for their minds and their bodies.
And I'm also into that. That's a big thing. That's a big thing that I go through and receive whenever I get, because I'm still in Denton. I'm still in my hometown and everything like that. So I see people that I went to high school with, and everyone is consistently like, oh, yo, like, you were really, really cool in high school, so on and so forth. You really just kind of did you. And I was, the craziest part is I was bullied through a lot of my school time, but at the same time, it is definitely solid, and I'm glad that I'm able to go through and influence people to really do what they want to do and live how they want to live through what I was being able to do. In high school, I was a super weird kid. Like, I was like Tyler, the Creator, pastel pants, like flooding to damn near the top of my ankles, long socks and weird shit. But then also I would flip it up and be like all Black. I'd have skinny jeans in my backpack. My mom at the time, like, I wasn't allowed to wear skinny jeans, so I just kind of like hit them. And
right.
But even still, though, I really want to go through and advocate for kids that want to express themselves the way that they feel comfortable, because I feel like that's really, really important, especially in Black minds and Black youth, because there's so many things that we have to conform to as a people group already. And I feel like that to go through and have those chains lifted off and everything like that would be amazing to see within the community.
Yeah, that's awesome. Katina, you said something earlier. I just want to dive into a little deeper. You kind of alluded to this pattern throughout history where African-Americans will come up with innovations to solve the problems that they are facing, but that those innovations will then be a blessing to a broader community of people. It'll solve a broader problem. And I mean, that's part of, we've talked in the past about stolen patents from African-Americans and how much America has lost by not providing the opportunity for all that innovation. But in this case, I want to highlight the fact that I had shared this idea of hood sensory with the church that I'm at has an autism ministry. And they have a lot of sensory toys and equipment for the children who come in with sensory issues related to autism. And I had shared the concept, like an earlier version of the concept, with the autism ministry coordinator. And she was saying, like, this is brilliant. Like, this would have such an application within the sensory issues of autism. And so part of my excitement and hope for this is that it would be something that would solve the problem you're trying to solve, but also be a blessing to, I mean, and I don't know if the exact statistics, I think it's somewhere around 3% of people have autism, which would be like somewhere approaching 10 million Americans for whom this would be just an incredible opportunity to have some of the sensory needs met so that they can feel comfort as they go about life. And so my hat is off to you for seeing a need and chasing it down. That's kind of a long setup, but I would love to, is that something that you have explored more and speak into that a little bit?
Absolutely. I believe that when you love the least, like, but by default, you love the most. When you love the least of these, by default, like, if you can truly love Black people. And by loving Black people, that means seeing them, recognizing and honoring their autonomy, holding space for Black people to tend to our own tears and create our own solutions and have our own innovations and our own thoughts and our own diversity and just be us without feeling the need to fix us or, you know what I'm saying, support us. And specifically as a Black woman who is loving Black people, I feel like if you can love Black people, you can love everybody. Because in America, if you can love Black and Indigenous people, like you can truly love, like in the context of what love really is. And so therefore, if I am serving a community that has been denied mental health resources and has been exploited in medical racism, a history of medical racism and experimentation, where a lot of America's procedures, surgeries, and even diagnoses and prognoses and solutions have been honed and perfected by afflicting Black bodies, right? And that in turn has caused my community to have a strong distrust to our own detriment, and rightfully so, to not trust America's healthcare institution and industry. If I can create something that loves us, then it will die by default, because we are autistic. We have anxiety. We have OCD. We have entangled in all of that. We have intergenerational trauma that has made those conditions even worse. And then we neglect ourselves because, you know, a single mom has to work 3 jobs to make it because the husband is a part of the incarcerated. So he's not being able to be present. Like, we're having to work around a system that's been built against us. And basically, yeah, I'm sorry, I kind of got off. But yeah, if I create something for the least of these, you know, with the least of these in mind, then by default, it's going to care for everyone. So Hood Sensory is for everyone. It's for anyone who has, like, you may not even have tremendous anxiety. You may just like how the hoodie feels, makes you feel. It may just help you decompress at the end of the day. But because we are thinking about stylish, you know, it being stylish for, you know, as a street fashion, because, you know, Black kids, you know, we are the culture. Black kids are the culture when it comes to defining style in America. Like, we kind of paved the way when it comes to style and fashion. But also because some people like thumb holes or need thumb holes because they offer some source of comfort, or because they have touch aversion, so the fabric needs to be to feel a certain way, or they can't stand tags, you know, or they need weightedness, like a mini weighted blanket on the inside of their, they wish they could carry a weighted blanket around all day, but they can't because that's not practical. But they have a mini weighted blanket on their chest under their hoodie, and they have a mini weighted blanket on their back under their hoodie. And if it's too heavy or if they don't want to wear it, they can take it out. Or they have, you know, arm compression. And if they can, they can wear it on one arm or no arms. And then there's fidget management in 6 different spots. And there's some spots where it's very discreet. There's, you know, food grade silicone that you can chew on the strings if you want to chew on the strings. And all of that can be happening real time. You could be self-soothing yourself in a room full of people and no one would know what you're doing. Or you could prep your hoodie before you go to school, how you want it to be for the day, and you can pull your sleeve down and move it around. Like, you know, and in this, I'm speaking about just diversity, period. Because again, race is a spectrum, as well as neurodiversity is a spectrum. So if we can create something for, I'm thinking about, you know, just the average Black kid whose mama is like, I'm absolutely not taking you to therapy. And, you know, you acting crazy and you acting weird and you wearing weird clothes. If we can create something for that kid in mind, with that kid in mind, then it's going to serve a whole bunch more people. That's my roundabout mm-hmm. way of answering that, if that makes sense.
So two more questions I have for you, and then we can wrap it up. But what obstacles are you facing? And with that, is there a need for education outside from what we've already said? Is there any other things that you find yourself educating people about to make sense of the Hood Sensory product?
Because he's been wearing his hoodie like every day and sharing it with everybody that he comes in contact with. For me, the obstacles are learning the fashion merchandising industry and being an independent person. Like, I don't have like a ton of money and resources. And so I'm completely new to this field. I mean, I'm a musician, I'm a music artist, and I'm a businesswoman, but learning manufacturing, ethically sourcing, learning about fabrics, learning all this stuff, having to go through several prototypes, learning to be very patient, because this process, even this final prototype, we already have tweaks that we've had to turn in. It's been this amazing world that I knew nothing about. And I have so much appreciation now for how, you know, how I even get to wear a t-shirt, like a t-shirt. There's a bunch of magic that happens that I never thought about. I just go to wherever, Target, and get me a t-shirt, and there it is. But and so, you know, funds, resources, having to scale your business to where you can accommodate a bulk order. Right now, we're trying to do a bulk order, and it requires a certain number of units and all of that. Those are the obstacles that I have come across. But we're overcoming those by having an amazing production and marketing team, and just me learning as I go and us doing what we can as we go. And we are further now at 4 years, 4 years in than we ever were. And I actually am wearing my hoodie, and I'm just amazed that we're even there. But Jamie, what would you say?
I wouldn't necessarily say there have been any challenges per se. Well, I guess like not necessarily from our side of things, more so with the production team. There have definitely been challenges about how do we go through and make this hoodie, how do we go about making this hoodie an actuality, because this hoodie doesn't exist in any other spaces. There's never really been a hoodie with this many different kind of adaptations to it, with this many things combined into one. So like, for instance, like the weighted blanket pad, how heavy does that need to be? There was a lot of adjustments needed to be there, as well as going through and putting in like the food grade silicone versus medical silicone. And what are the differences between those two? And so like, just like the small things like that, just trying to go through and iron that out to where we have a realistic product that's also affordable.
Right.
Because that's big, that, going through, and with this much, this could easily be upwards of $800 to $1,000 on a regular scale, especially with someone who had the money to just kind of throw it at it. That could have been entirely different. With us, we were very much trying to be conservative with the price point, as well as just the production in and of itself, and how functional would that be as a whole with all of those things in mind. So that's probably been the biggest thing, is going through and making sure that everything is of the best quality, but at the best price for the customer, and will last the longest.
Our manufacturer, go ahead.
For instance, one thing that we went through and changed on this hoodie specifically that I brought to light was the fidget toys. They're on this like woven string kind of deal or whatever. And I was wearing it out because I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to get this hoodie. I'm going to wear this out every day. I'm going to see what this is like. If I go through and wear this for a month, what is the wear and tear going to be on this actually? And what do we need to prepare for? What are our customers going to be doing? And so there are a couple of small things like the compression sleeves. They, at the moment, they kind of like the material in and of itself, what we've gone through, decided to bring the price down on those, or try to mitigate that based off of the wear that'll end up happening of wearing those every day. Or the fidget toys themselves, they had like a little woven string on them. And so we were going there looking at different ways to put that on there to where that string itself doesn't come undone, and then all those fidget toys just slide off. You know what I'm saying? So we're trying to figure out the best way to get this together, because also like if someone is going to be chewing on that, so on and so forth, you don't want that to slide off. And this is going to be a hoodie that's going to be, it's still an expensive hoodie in retrospect. So I want it to be, me personally, hoodie. I want it very much so to be very, very, very quality forward.
And that's the nice thing. These hoodies are all hand sewn. And so it was hard to find a manufacturer, because even the manufacturer who has factories, they were like, we ain't doing this. Because when they think of making a hoodie, they think of a machine going cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, and there's a hoodie. And they were like, we're not making this. It is literally hand sewn. And it is crazy the feedback that we've gotten from our manufacturer, who is a Chinese gentleman who is in Richardson, but his factories are ethically sourced and they're in overseas. And he's even talking about how even the making of this hoodie for his workers who are giving all this amazing input. I love meeting with them. He goes to Hong Kong to just talk through this process. And it's just amazing the feedback. He's like, now everybody in my factory, we're talking about how we could treat our kids better because we understand that they're having some things going on in their life. And I'm like, wow, all the way in China, this little hoodie is making an impact and making parents think about how they treat their kids. And that is so humbling. There's so much love and just, you know, just a lot of passion that's put into making this, like just the prototypes alone. It's been a year long process of developing the prototypes. Like it's been over a year of going back to the, we're about to be on the fifth prototype because we want this to be right.
Mm-hmm. Out the gate. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that what you're describing, there is a broad excitement on everyone on the team because they know that they're not just building something that's going to be sold to people to scratch a materialistic itch, but that you're making a product that is actually loving and helping people. So I think that's brilliant. And for anyone in our audience, if you are intrigued by this, I would just invite you to think of who you could share this episode with. Like if you know anyone who you think could just be served by this product. Also, if you have kids or someone in your family with autism and sensory issues, and you're thinking, well, this is a product called Hood Sensory. Am I like, is it kosher for me to enter in if I'm white or if I'm from another race? I would just encourage you. Katina was talking about that bulk order thing. You would be loving and serving the African-American community by jumping in and being a part of it and supporting it regardless of your race, because that would help Katina and Hood Sensory to achieve these benchmarks to do bulk orders and cut costs to help get this product off the ground. So I would say don't hesitate. It's actually a loving thing to buy one. If you have that hesitation, just don't listen to it. And would encourage you to check out hoodsensory.com. Is that what it was?
Yeah. And the Hood Sensory is for everyone. Anybody who wants to buy a hoodie is welcome to buy it. And it's hoodsensory.com. Pre-orders start in a week or two. We'll actually be at the Denton Black Film Festival doing demos and presentations on Friday, the 26th of this month and the 27th. So come out because we'll be doing like a rotation of demos and presentations. So you'll get to see the hoodie and even try it on. Yeah. And follow us on all of our socials and tell everyone about it. Inbox us, DM us, send us, email us if you have any questions.
Mm-hmm. All right. And just to wrap up, first, Katina and Jamie, I'm proud of you guys.
Thank you.
That you do so much to raise awareness for the problems in America that we all need to work together to address. But then you don't just talk, like you jump in this area and other areas that the audience doesn't even know about. You jump in and you get your hands in there, you make a difference. And I'm just proud of you guys for sticking it out. I know you guys have leveraged yourselves and taken risks to your own finances in order to make this a reality. And I hope and pray that it would take off, that you would have a business that could expand, meet many people's needs, that God would give you a return on your investment that you could use to, I know you have other ideas you would love to have the capital to pursue. So I hope and pray that it would go well. And thank you for the blood, sweat, and tears that you've put into making this thing a reality. So just to kind of close out our time the way we always do, we'd love to just invite you guys to speak directly to the audience. It could be about this or just summarizing any part of this conversation that you think you'd love to leave them with. What is something you would like to leave in the ears of the audience as we close out this episode?
Yeah, I think just like I said, Hood Sensory is for everyone and it's for adults as well, not just children. If you know someone that has quirks or things that you think are weird or tics or anything like that, this is a great episode to share with them. This is a great episode for you to listen to maybe start and change the conversations in your household. Yeah, I just can't stress that enough because I was blind and now I see. I mean, I was that mom and now I've opened myself up to a whole world of possibilities that is help me grow closer to my own children and, you know, spur them on and encourage them. So, and then we just appreciate your support. Go to the website, join the launch and the pre-orders and spread the word. Jamie, you have anything?
Me personally, honestly, the best thing that I could leave y'all with is the fact of everyone that I've shown the hoodie to, everyone that I've let try on the hoodie and everything like that, it's been a 100% unanimous, yes, thumbs up, full support. This hoodie is super comfortable and I'm super excited for everyone to go through and get their hands on it. I hope that everyone, regardless of whatever race, creed, mindset, I hope that everyone is able to go through and take this hoodie and really make it their own.